The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation. I'm wearing on my bling bling, my bling bling.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler. You know...
Hello, and welcome to episode 136 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. I'm joined, as always, by my SmackDown Matter Score correspondent, hash to the tag, Didi Jonay. Hello, friend.
What's up, friend? What's up? I'm Millie rocking in my seat. You can't see it. Just picture it.
I feel
picture
the vibe.
Millie rock.
I'm feeling
rock.
The glow. Hashtag glow time. And tonight, we are joined by our special guest, Halisa, a.k.a. at Madame Lizette on Twitter. Hello, Halisa.
Hi, guys. How are y'all doing?
We're good. We are so glad that you could join us tonight on the WrestleCast.
I am, too. I'm excited.
All right. So first and foremost, we want to let everybody know that the WrestleCast can be found on the CSPN.us. You can also find us on thewrestlecast.tumblr.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. You can also download us on any app for Android and iPhone that you can download and subscribe podcasts to. Just search WrestleCast or CSPN. So since Halisa is a first-time guest on the WrestleCast, of course we have to get her origin story. So Halisa, we want to know, who made you a wrestling fan? Was you grow up watching? And who were some of your favorites? And why you continue to stick with this amazing television show that we call Pro Wrestling?
So I used to watch wrestling as a kid. I watched it till I was about 11 or 12, and then I just stopped watching. And then fast forward 10 years, and I met my best friend, and he loves wrestling. And so it was always on the television when I'd come over. And so I started watching it. But then I started watching it without him. And I started Googling everything and like going back. I got the network. I started rewatching stuff. I got sucked in really quickly. And so I've been watching wrestling consistently for 5 years. So from 2012 to now. And when I originally started watching wrestling, I'm kind of ashamed to say this now. My favorite wrestler was Randy. I loved Randy Orton. Mm. I thought he was amazing in the ring. He just, I loved it. I watched his documentary that they released a couple years ago, and I was just like, this is perfection. Not so much now. Now I'm like, I'm a little bored of you. Like, I need you to retire. But outside of him, I would say HBK was my favorite wrestler. And then as a kid, my favorite wrestler was Stone Cold Steve Austin. I loved everything about him. I just liked anybody who likes to be an asshole. Heels first and foremost, always. I'm not really a babyface fan at all. So that's how I got started. And I'm probably sucked in because of the storylines. I love the storylines. I one day hope to get a job working for creative so I can write a storyline and it like makes sense instead of WWE telling us we're going to do this. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Why are you doing that? Don't you remember what happened 6 months ago? And that's about it.
All right. All right. Now, you sound like you would be a perfect nominee for creative quality control. Not really creative, but just quality control. Like, hey, remember, you guys did this like 2 weeks ago, so make sure it makes sense.
Yo, every time they do a storyline, like right now, the whole Miz and Dean thing, I'm like, we just did that last year for another belt. Yeah, okay. Y'all are right. We're going to keep doing this. Okay.
Now, I'd like to bring up, since you're all about your creative, that's your thing. You like to talk about the storylines. Now, by following you on Twitter, I heard that you're starting a new podcast. So tell us about the Phenomenal Cast.
So the Phenomenal Cast, the first episode will drop tomorrow. My cousin edited for me and everything. He said he added sound effects. So as of right now, it's just me talking. I'm only going to do it the week prior to a pay-per-view. So like you'll get it Friday and then the pay-per-view will be on Sunday because I have a full-time job and I'm going to school and I just don't have time to do it every week. But what I'm going to do is I go through each of the title matches and basically kind of tell you how we got here and what I think is going to happen going forward. And then, title, then mid-card, and then whatever like pre-show matches that we're having or whatever. So it's going to be about 45 minutes to an hour long. And then I'm going to do like mini episodes on an app called Bumper because I can self-edit and kind of tell you guys what like my immediate reactions are to the pay-per-views and my immediate reactions to like Raw and SmackDown if something important happened, like, you know, Finn comes back or something. But I'm really excited. I have friends who want to be on the podcast with me, so it's not just going to be me. But right now, it's just me and Joe in the background.
Well, let everybody know where they can subscribe and also follow the podcast on Twitter.
So the podcast name on Twitter is Phenomenal Cast, and then on SoundCloud as of right now, but that might be changing to more sites. You can go to j.rproductions and you can listen to the Phenomenal Cast. It's in its own playlist. The reason why it's called JR Productions is because I'm also in another podcast that's about millennials and how we're ruining the world. And we're on season 2 of that, so we had to make a little bit separate, and I didn't want to pay money for multiple accounts.
Well, while you're here, and you have the mic open, pub that podcast as well.
So my other podcast is called The Not All Millennials, and basically me, my cousin, and one of my best friends from high school sit around and talk about all the things that we've learned while adulting, or not so much, and the first season, we did a lot of pop culture and hot topics, but for season 2, we've changed it to a shorter format where we just do millennials and then against a certain topic. If you haven't noticed, every couple of weeks, there is a different article coming out saying millennials have ruined the world. I think the most recent one was about how we like avocado toast and we're not buying houses, and that doesn't make any sense to me. So we tackle that. We are going to be recording our next episode this weekend, and it's going to be about millennials and mental health. My cousin deals with depression, and my sidekick and my best friend, she kind of does too. So we're going to go into that and just kind of talk about our self-care routines and how we've been coping with depression or feeling low and highs and all that stuff. And you'll get to learn a lot about us. We did religion 2 weeks ago. We've done finances, we've done sexual orientation and gender. Like, it's a range of different topics, and I would love for you guys to listen to it and tell us what you think. And you can the at for that on Twitter is Not All Millies, M-I-L-L-I-S. And like I said, it's 3 of us on there. We have special guests, like different friends who come and do it with us, and they always provide pretty good feedback as well.
As Dan Chrisom and Jeremy would say, not all.
Not all, like, we're not all bad, I promise.
No, that's awesome. So you guys please support her, check her out. Elisa has been a long time supporter of the WrestleCast. Of all the hashtags, she's always there for RawCast, SmackDown Matters, any of the live tweets for pay-per-views or special events. So definitely show her some love and give her some feedback on her new adventure into the, you know, her own podcast and to Not All Millennials as well.
Thank you, it's appreciated.
So we're going to get into the reviews this week, as we've got a loaded show again, as we're just gonna, no news really is popping off this week as it's the dead time, you know, the Memorial Day weekend, not a lot is going on. Thankfully, nobody has died or gotten suspended for PEDs, so we can just go straight into Monday Night Raw from Greenville, South Carolina. We have The Miz and Maryse. They open the show with Miz TV. Miz talks about his match this Sunday with Dean Ambrose. Then Miz announces his guest for Miz TV, Sheamus and Cesaro. Sheamus and Cesaro talk about their match. But then The Miz goes back to talking about Dean, which brings Dean Ambrose out. He says he wants to shut these three buttheads up, and the Hardy Boys join him, and they hit the ring. Dean and the Hardy Boys, of course, clear the ring. So, of course, that leads into what, Didi Jone?
A distraction?
No. Six-man tag team match that's going to start when?
Oh, right now.
For sure.
Right now.
Always right now.
That, I'm sure.
Or during the commercial break.
Right. So they've talked to the GM, Kurt Angle, and we have Dean Ambrose and the Hardy Boys versus Sheamus and Cesaro and The Miz. Matt Hardy hits what was supposed to be a twist of fate, but somehow The Miz botched that into a spinning neck breaker. But he gets in position to allow Jeff Hardy to hit the Swanton Bomb, and the Hardy Boys get the win as Jeff Hardy pins The Miz. So, this was basically took up like the first like 45 minutes of the show, and it was pretty blah.
Aww.
I wasn't the only person who noticed how long that was. I just remember looking at my clock and going, they're still out here? Like, y'all been out here since 7. Why are we still going?
Yes, Central Time Zone.
7, right. Yeah, you in Central Time Zone.
I am. I'm in Central Time Zone.
No, that's good, though, because your day ends earlier because all the shows end an hour earlier.
Right.
It's real nice.
It is. I enjoy it. I don't know if I can stay up till, like, 11 watching Raw.
It's a struggle.
It's rough. That's the reason why we have the Rawcast. Hashtag Rawcast.
Yes, for sure.
All right. So after that, we get a commercial break. And then, well, actually, not after, we don't get a commercial break. Actually, we get, you know, we see the guys leaving the ring, and we get Corey Graves. He leaves during the recap of the opening match. After he gets a message on his phone, he just kind of leaves the announce desk, kind of like one of them, you know, how you doing text or whatever. Or hey, big head text, I think is what it is on Twitter, that, you know, signals, hey, the Batman signal. But anyway, Corey Graves was like, I got to get up out of here. So then we go to a commercial break, and we come back, and Kurt Angle is in the back, and he's looking at Corey Graves' phone, and he has this look of just shock and dismay, and it seems like someone has some dirt on Kurt Angle.
Well, you think it's a sex tape?
The memes were hilarious. The different memes of you know, Seth Rollins and his little fiasco that he had showing up on the phone. It was also what was the other one I saw? It was Tom Phillips and his little, you know, misadventures in the DMs showed up on one of the phones that looked like Kurt was looking at. So I thought this angle was really good. I don't know what it's going to lead to, but, you know, involving Corey, it really seemed like serious. It looked like it wasn't scripted, and that's always good.
Yeah.
So next we get the Drifter versus Zach Evans. The Drifter sings his song, gets very little crowd reaction, and the Drifter gets the win with this swinging neck breaker. So he gets to follow up his win over Dean Ambrose with a win over a jobber. So I don't think anybody, you guys aren't here for the Drifter.
I like the Drifter. I just wish he went back to drifting.
So then we get a Samoa Joe backstage promo on his match later tonight, where he's in a three-way with Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor, and that promo gets interrupted by the Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt. Of course, Bray Wyatt gives us a nice sermon. He's on point again, and, you know, so that's kind of how that ends, and then we go to commercial break, and then we come back with the triple threat match between Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, and Samoa Joe. Finn Balor hits the three moves of doom on Bray Wyatt. Those three moves are the Sling Blade, the Shotgun Dropkick, and the Ultimate Kevin Sullivan Foot Stomp. After the Ultimate Kevin Sullivan Foot Stomp, Joe runs Finn into the ring post. Joe then covers Bray, and he gets the win. So, Alisa, hashtag heel life came through on this one in the form of Samoa Joe.
I love it. I love it. I guess I can say this. I want Samoa Joe to win. Like, I want him to become the number one contender. Just because I don't want to see Finn take like 18 suplexes. I'm sorry. It was funny when John Cena did it. Trust me, mm-hmm. I was in shambles laughing. But I don't really want to see Finn do that, because when Samoa Joe tossed Finn into the ring post, I was like, oh, Gord, did he break his shoulder? Like, that's what I thought. It just made me like cringe a little bit, because I thought he was hurt. And Finn is like accident prone at this point to me. So, I want Samoa Joe to win. I'm good with him pinning Bray. I'm good with heel life all the time. He can keep, you know, throwing Finn in the thing. I just want Finn not to look like he is really in pain.
All right. So, then we get a Seth Rollins backstage promo. And after that, we get Noam Dar versus Rich Swann.
Oh, goodness.
Of course, Noam Dar has Alicia Fox. Rich Swann is accompanied by Sasha Banks, as it was announced early in the week that we will have a mixed tag match between Noam Dar and Sasha Banks and Rich Swann, and Noam Dar and Alicia Fox, and Rich Swann and Sasha Banks at Extreme Rules. So Sasha Banks stops Alicia's attempt to get involved in the match. Swan then hits the Phoenix Splash, and he gets the win over Noam Dar. There will be much more about this feud later in the show. This is just advertising. I'll give a hashtag fashion cast to Sasha Banks and the high-waisted shorts. Next, we get a revival Top Guys promo in the back where it was Miss Charlie Caruso, police head to Caruso, does a little investigative reporting and shows a little video of them leaving the backstage area last week while she was interviewing Sasha Banks. And they speculate that maybe the Top Guys had something to do with who beat up Enzo. So we come back from a commercial break and then we get Cass. He's confronting Corey Graves over the comments that he made after the video was played during the Top Guys promo. And then, you know, Corey Graves backpedals and says that, you know, he knows that Cass is on the case and that, you know, he saw that video and he is taking it into strong consideration as to, you know, who attacked this little buddy. And they shake hands and it seems like their beef has been squashed. Dee Dee, did you like to see Cass running up on Corey like that? Corey looked a little shook.
I mean, HGH Edge is a big man. That's a whole lot of man right there. I'd be a little nervous, too. But, I mean, you know, in Corey's defense, didn't it kind of occur to everybody that, well, maybe Cass did it.
Say what?
You know, you didn't think that?
Never.
Really?
Why would Cass do a thing like that to Enzo?
It didn't turn around even a little bit.
No, never.
Oh, y'all too good. Okay. It certainly crossed my mind. I was in my head, I was just like, it'd be real funny if Cassie was going to beat him up. And then I kind of just went on. Like, it's not like I really thought it, but it certainly crossed my mind.
Okay.
Not for y'all?
Never.
No.
It's somebody else being nefarious in the back that's got it out for Enzo. Somebody please put hands of prayer around young Littlefoot. She's got me blocked on Twitter, so she can't see my tweets.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, does yes. She? Yes, because North Carolina won the championship, and on the way, they beat Kentucky. So, I mean, I understand. It's for a good reason. If I got to be blocked, you know, that's a good reason.
But that was a while ago. Y'all, like,
from no, I mean, I understand, you know, some wounds take a while to heal. Maybe when the season starts back, she'll, like, unblock me or whatever. But I still got love for the new Slade. They had an awesome new podcast this past week. So big shout out to Young Littlefoot, Jordan Renee, and XOCO Slim for their new podcast.
You real professional. You blocked me on Twitter. I'm not shouting you off for nothing. Oh,
I know it wasn't. I know because this was leading up. Like it was kind of building like the whole season. And when the tournament came out, I knew it was going to happen. And then it did happen. And then we won in like last second fashion. So, I mean, I understand. It's no love loss.
That's real nice of you.
It's a sports thing. It's more of a sports thing. It's not a personal thing.
Yeah, I'm not a sports gal.
Yeah,
I hold grudges.
Yeah, I don't take the sports rivalry too personally. It's all in the good nature of, you know, being rivals.
I mean, but she blocked you though. Like, she took it.
It's all good.
It's all good.
I see all her tweets through the WrestleCast, so it's all good. So shout out to young Littlefoot Alexis. She is the bomb. She is so great. So next up, we got Kalisto versus Titus. Titus Brand in the house. Titus tells, you know, Apollo Crews, he's going, you know, take some lessons, young buck. I'm going to show you how you get it done. So Kalisto is dominating. Kalisto goes to try to do one of his little special flippy do moves. And Titus just sits down on him, grabs the tights, and he gets the win. And I'm here for it. Titus Brand all the way.
I don't know about that.
Y'all don't see the vision?
Y'all don't
fuck with the Titus brand?
No. That entire storyline is just like an eye roll for me. I didn't even watch that match, actually. I heard it, and that was about it.
Wait until Apollo Crews goes bonkers on somebody. Then you'll be into it.
He needs to do something, because I'm not really sure what he's doing now.
He's smiling. He's still smiling.
He's being a family man.
He's still smiling. So next we get Alexa Bliss, and she comes out to give us a version of Bayley. This is your life.
They need to not do that anymore because they're never good.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna. Basically, this comes. You know, Bayley has some people out there who are supposed to be from Bayley's past. They talk bad about Bayley, her childhood best friend. childhood boyfriend. Turns out they want to get with each other. It just portrays Bailey as just a child. And Bailey comes out. They eventually have a brawl. Bailey gets the best of it. Bailey goes for the kendo stick, but Alexa knocks her off the ropes because they have the kendo stick on the pole during this This Is Your Life. Alexa then grabs the kendo stick from underneath the table that is set up in the ring and hits Bailey across the back again. And Bailey goes scurrying out of the ring, and that's the end of your segment. And this was awful. I love Alexa Bliss, and usually she can make some chicken salad out of the crap that they give her. But yeah, this was awful.
Like, I partially enjoyed it because Alexa was sticking it to the crowd and I was okay with that. And even though she knew, like, you could tell she knew this is bad, she kept with it. And I was like, okay, perseverance, do your thing. and then I'm good with her, you know, hitting Bailey with the kendo stick. Kendo sticks are cool in my book.
Hashtag heel life.
Forever.
Right.
Didi, how is it that everybody that I've been getting on the podcast lately who is a part of the Glow has been perfect candidates for the Ladies Night WrestleCast?
Because we're awesome.
Yes, you guys are awesome.
And also, you know who to reach out to. You know who you know who will be good.
All right, so after our commercial break, we come back and Enzo is laid out again backstage. Big Cass is questioning Kirk, and he asks if it was the revival. Kirk says no. He saw them leave the building personally. Cass was like, that don't mean shit to me. They could have done it and then walked out and when you saw them. So Kirk was like, you have my word that it wasn't them this time. At least Enzo was conscious and kind of was still about himself, even though he still didn't know who jumped him from behind.
He kept his shoes this time, too.
This is a plus.
I was like, good job, Enzo, keeping your shoes. Congratulations.
Now it's time for the hashtag Purple Ropes, as Austin Aries and Jack Gallagher face off against TJP and Neville. Ugh. Aries gets Neville to tap out to the Last Chancery, and Austin Aries and Jack Gallagher win the match. Thoughts, questions, concerns?
So, I love Evil Neville. I think Evil Neville is perfection. I don't like TJP, though. I wish he would change his gimmick up. Because once I realized how old he was out here dabbing, I was like, no, you need to let that go. Like, I know you like you're like 12, but you're not 12 at all. And now that you're a heel, I just think that you coming out to like Mario's theme music doesn't really work out very well for you. And I love Jack Gallagher. I wish him and Neville would have kept their feud going a little bit longer, because I'm kind of over the whole Austin Aries being a face thing.
Okay. Do you think Austin Aries would just work better if he was just on the main roster and not associated with 205, if he was just in the regular mix?
I don't know, because when he was on NXT and he was in the regular mix, like, he had some uptick, but even the NXT crowd didn't really like gravitate towards him. He was beating up on No Way Jose, and No Way Jose was still getting more fan love than he was. I think people are just... it's a nostalgia act that we wanted, and now that we're not getting the full force of it, it's like, all right, you can go in the corner. It's cool. He can go back to commentating. I liked him on the commentating.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely worked out for him while his face was literally broken from a concussion by Nakamura.
Right.
Why you gotta bring that up?
I mean, it's the facts, Jack.
I mean, but who cares who gave him a little broken face? Maybe your face should be a little stronger.
I agree.
Thank
Kevin.
You.
Kevin Owens is like, I don't have a problem with it.
Exactly.
So next we get Roman Reigns on his, gets a promo on his match later tonight against Seth Rollins. Then we get one of the highlights of the night. It's a Shattered Dreams production. Goldust. Of course, he's back to his old ways as he's speaking in his director's chair. Then all of a sudden, that gets interrupted by an R-Truth production. And R-Truth actually had a great promo as he went Blaxploitation. He had a couple of Furious Styles lines that were real good, a couple of Shaft lines, and this was actually like, you know what, I wasn't really feeling this at first. I was hoping they would just let Goldust kind of just do another promo, and then maybe after the Dean and Drifter thing or whatever happened, he kind of get in there. But this thing with R-Truth, with this promo by R-Truth, I mean, like, okay, I can feel this. If they let this build up and have a match on Raw next week or something, I like it.
Aren't they going to be on the pre-show?
As of what I saw tonight, no. Haven't seen it. Unless it's announced tomorrow or something.
I was reading an article on something that said that they might do the pre-show. I kind of hope they do, because
Well, we'll include it in our preview later on in the show, and then that way we'll have it covered just in case it is.
For sure.
Didi, did you like R-Truth in this segment? Did you actually, you know?
I didn't really pay attention. I looked up and I was like, oh, Blaxploitation, and I went back to playing my game on my
iPad. Well, it's something better than the What's Up, so I'll take it.
Right. You know, actually what made me go, R-Truth, you might not be that bad. I watched his table for three with him and Booker T and Goldust, and I was like, oh, you are okay. I still don't really like you, but like, I get it. Like, you're not half bad.
Next, it's time for our main event, Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. Now, ladies, because I have two ladies as my guest tonight, which way did the creep cast meter favor in each direction? So I'll start with Dee Dee.
You know, I'm a little thicker, so Roman always catches my eye first, but, you know, Roman's married. I only got three kids, so it's kind of like I'd rather go with Seth. You know, he watches Ava DuVernay documentaries on Netflix now, so we can go with
Seth. Yeah. Seth Rollins, you might be able to convince him to take the rat tail comb and scratch your scalp, huh?
Yeah, like he might cut your weave tracks out.
Yeah, he seems like he's willing to learn.
Okay.
Like, oh, you need a shower cap? Okay. Look at your
shower cap. Halisa, same question. Which direction does the creep cast go towards in this matchup?
It used to be Roman, but now it's most definitely Seth. I miss his blonde hair. I need somebody to fix that.
Ugh.
I miss the blonde hair. I really do.
Blonde was awful.
And then when I found out that he celebrated a birthday today, I think, and I was like, really? You're a Gemini as well? I'm down for this.
Oh, is he? That makes him awful.
Wait. No Gemini slander, please.
Girl, you know your people.
All of us are not bad. And, like, Seth is a very prime example of that.
Girl, he cheated on his fiance with it. Never mind.
He did. I know.
He's changed his life.
He has. He's grown. He's grown and improved in things.
All right. So now we're...
That's a good age.
Does he make the age requirement?
Yeah, I'm 31, so that's perfect.
Okay, perfect. There you go.
Yeah. See, look.
But he is a Gemini, so it's like...
No, don't. No slander. We're good people.
Yikes.
So now for the main event, of course, the match goes on. Seth goes for what I call the Snowmaker, but Roman counters out of it. Roman hits the spear, and he gets the win for the first time ever over Seth Rollins. What did you think?
Go ahead,
I wasn't expecting for him to win. I wasn't expecting it to be a finish. Like, I just knew Samoa Joe's gonna come out there, or Bray, and just, like, break all of that up. And then that didn't happen. I was like, what are y'all doing?
Nobody said Samoa Joe's name recklessly or in vain, so he ain't having no reason to run out there tonight.
I was like, isn't it the go-home show? Like, isn't it, like, how we always close out Raw? Everybody storms, you know, the ring, and we have, like, this whole brawl, and then it's like, they're so excited, they're getting ready, da-da-da-da-da, and we're all sitting here like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know. So I guess, like, Roman out here staking his dominance. It's his yard, apparently.
Yes, he is the big dog, and this is his yard. Didi, what do you think about the finish of the Monday Night Raw?
Oh, I didn't think anything. I'm just like,
okay.
I'm not invested in your red brand. I'm so sorry. I only care about what's going over on Team Blue.
Well, without further ado, before we get to Team Blue, I'll let you know that this is The WrestleCast. You can follow us on Twitter at The WrestleCast. You can follow me at Don Delarente. You can follow our SmackDown Magic correspondent, Didi Jonet, at Didi Jonet. That's D with two E's twice, and then Jonet with two E's. And you can also follow our guest, Halisa, at Madame Lizette. So, Didi Jonet, I will turn it over to you as SmackDown comes to us from Atlanta, Georgia.
From Atlanta. Mm-hmm. If you follow Naomi on the Instagrams, you saw her having fun in Hawaii and then coming into the Atlanta arena with her title and her beautiful green hair. It was quite cute. There's a backstage interview with each of the women in tonight's five-way elimination match explaining why they shall win Naomi's title. They shan't. I have faith. But that's okay. Next is Kevin Owens' highlight reel. He reminds us that Chris Jericho claims he invented the match, but that he will do what Jericho never could and actually win the contract. End up being the double champion in the face of WWE, and then he introduces his guest, Shinsuke Nakamura. On a personal note, I have decided that Nakamura's entrance music will be my entrance music at my wedding reception. I just need to find a husband, and we can get this, like, popping. I'm ready. Ooh, Nakamura has pyro now twice, and we love his song, and And he says, Owen says he retired the last guy who claimed to be a rock star. Nakamura's about to speak, is interrupted by Baron Corbin. He says that he wants to show some highlights, and they replay his attack on Sami Zayn, completely disregarding the fact that he lost. But, you know, that's fine. Owen says that Corbin should be bragging about beating up Sami for a few minutes because he's been beating up Sami for 15 years. Which is kind of great, even though I do love Sami. Kind of great. Baron Corbin calls Kevin cartoon, which is funny. And then Nakamura calls both of them forgetful, and he reminds them that he pinned Kevin last week. He also reminds Corbin that Zayn has beat him twice. And then he gets attacked by the two heels. Of course, Sami comes out, runs down for the save. I said, ooh. I see a tag match in my future. Sami says the fight between him and Corbin isn't over, and the fight with him and Owens is never over because Peter and the chicken, they're always going to fight. So, because I'm magical and or because wrestling is predictable, Sami challenges them to a tag match. They go to commercial, but during the commercial, you can see the match. So, the things, they happen. There's a cheap shot by Kevin. The referee's distracted. Bad guys take control. Sami hits Owens with a blue thunder bomb, but Corbin knocks Nakamura off the apron before Sami could make a tag. Sami caught him with the schoolboy for a near fall. Corbin followed with a spine buster, makes a tag to Nakamura. He does what he does. There's a near fall. Corbin breaks up the attempted pinfall. Sami pushes Owens into Corbin. Then they get to fight, and the bad guys do. Therefore, Corbin punches Kevin. Sami knocks Corbin out of the ring, and Nakamura nails Owens with a Kinshasa for the win. And we're all very happy.
Dee Dee, since this is your brand, do you think they overusing the entrance too much? Because the thing about NXT was, you know, we didn't see them all the time. So, like, the entrance was always good. But now it's like, you know, are they going to wear it out?
Can it be worn out?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you, because you're the face that runs the place.
Because I love the music so much. I love that the fans love it so much. But mind you, I wasn't there, you know.
Yeah, the NXT run.
So it's, so it's all very new to me. Okay. But it's like, you know, Bray's entrance doesn't get old. Who else has good music? The good music people don't
AJ Styles. AJ Styles has been here for a year, and his music doesn't get old. So, yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, his is an experience. You know, I will say that. Because it's not a music that you just walk out to. You have to do all the things. It's when Enzo and Zoe's music, when Enzo and Cass's music comes out, Enzo can't walk out. Enzo got to run out and like make his circuit around the stage. Like that's just kind of what you got to do when you have that kind of music. So I see your point. I doubt it'll get old for me.
Okay.
I don't know how they'll feel about it, but I'm down for the long haul.
Well, right now there are four entrances that are the must-see. There's the Bobby Roode Tell Glorious, me. Enzo and Cass, Nakamura, and I think AJ Styles.
AJ Styles. Who's that fourth one?
That was the fourth one, AJ Styles.
Oh, so who's the third one?
Bobby Roode. Enzo and Cass.
Oh, Enzo and Cass.
Uh-huh, Nakamura, and then AJ Styles.
Yeah, I would go with that.
And Shout out to DJ Wally Sparks, who was at Phillips Arena for hashtag SmackDown Matters and got some pretty dope video of the entrances of Nakamura and AJ Styles. So shout out to him representing for the WrestleCast.
He was doing a little bit of live tweeting for a minute. I was like, look at you. Mildly, and not on the same level, I will say when Chris Jericho comes back, his shit always gets a pop.
Right, yeah.
Like, that break the wall, that's always a moment.
I feel like that'll never get old.
HBK has that music where it's like when you hear the moaning or whatever, like that's your cue. Steve Austin with his glass breaking.
Yeah.
The Rock. I think everybody who's like a classic like wrestler has music that like gives you that moment so you know exactly who they are.
Well, let me tell you.
Come out and you can get your shit together.
Let me tell you about the GOAT. A couple of years ago, I had the Undertaker gong. as the as my notification ringtone for my text message.
Oh my!
And I had to change it because people were like getting freaked out. They was like, I was doing it in my fantasy draft and went off a couple of times. People were like, "Oh my gosh, that is so scary."
Yeah. Oh, his too, for sure. Yeah.
Even Edge's as well. Edge has a good one.
Now, as much as I stand for Edge, I really don't remember his music at all.
The like,
You Think You Know Me?
Okay, yeah.
I remember what the original You Think You Know Me when he was like a fake vampire. Yeah, that was great. Anyway, we digress. The Usos are out there. The fans are mad, looking a little salty because they're still the champs. You know, y'all thought American Alpha would beat them.
Nope.
Thought the Falcons would beat the Patriots.
Oh, goodness.
Nope.
There you go. Just shady. And he said, Noble Wesley wasn't playing you. And then they're interrupted.
They are interrupted.
God bless them. By the returning New Day.
That's one. Another entrance that has not gotten old. Every time I hear Big E, I'm like, yes.
He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, I can't. Ooh, it tingles me. Anyway.
So wow.
I forget where I got that from. It's so funny. Never gets old. Xavier's a good child, even though he has a sex tape and says hi to his mom in the front row.
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
He was like, nice shirt, mom. And then he started grinding with
you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was later. Oh, he was influenced by Kofi. Kofi started it.
And Kofi be out there wilding out. Like, I love it.
That's how you know he got a lot of kids. The hips. So the Usos are out of the ring, and they're kind of looking at them. And they're like, did you get lost giving on the Yellow Brick Road or something? And then they welcome the New Day to the Uso Penitentiary. And Biggie's like, yeah, you know what happens in the penitentiary? And then he looks at the tag titles, and he says, we like them, and we want some. If you know that reference, it's hilarious. I wonder what happens if you don't know the reference. Oh, if you don't know, you got to Google. It's amazing. Wood said that they could do this the hard way or the easy way. See? More penitentiary references. And Kingston said the answer better be yes. From the fairy tale, they run the show and they'll take him out back like old Yeller. Shane comes out and gives them a tag championship match at Money in the Bank. Again, why are you letting people just go work and be like, give me a title match? I'm not mad because I love the New Day. I'm just asking.
No, Xavier went to Shane. He said they know the man who runs SmackDown and they got some opponents, but they just don't know who. And then that's when Xavier finished it off with the y'all know what it was. You seen it. That was the game over. That's what he told Paige.
Yeah.
Game over.
Oh, game over.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. In front of his mama.
Xavier don't care.
Listen, mama knows. Mama knows exactly who that boy is.
Xavier out here living his best life. He don't care.
And he just had a kid. So, like, you know what I'm saying? He doing so much. Yeah. He just had a kid. He doing so much.
I knew he had a wife.
He doing so much. But hey,
he's
man,
all over the place. Oh my God.
He was in his hometown, man. They
what
like,
if the New Day ever invited Dan and that boy, and he'd be like, "We live, baby."
That's who should have been there. Maybe we'll get him for WrestleMania since they live in New Orleans.
I can just see that dude telling him, "Y'all all over the place, baby." Oh, oh, it needs to happen.
It does. I agree.
Oh, that would be great. Those black people would be so confused. But anyway,
they would.
Great though. Inside jokes. Oh, okay. So, Fashion Files, new episode. This one is a black and white noir. They follow Fandango. He's got an internal monologue. He sees the silhouette of a shapely lady named Tyler Breeze. Apparently, he's undercover. They're like, "Oh, wait, you can hear my internal voice." And like, yeah. And so then their office and fashion files are destroyed and they looked for clues. Too close to the tag titles. And now they have a new case. Any thoughts? I know y'all love.
Oh, yeah. I love the. Well, I don't know about the. See, I told y'all from the very beginning, I didn't like Tyler Breeze dressing up because Vince might fucking pigeonhole him into that role. And what do you see?
Tyler
Breeze dressing up. in Tyler silhouette Edgar. As a woman. Who do y'all think that was? That was a silhouette.
I thought it was Summer Rae.
I knew it was Tyler. Yeah, I knew it was Tyler.
I was like,
because they're predictable. You know, it's the easy joke of it being Tyler, so of course it's Tyler.
Of course. But the silhouette, originally, I was like, looks like they got Summer Rae to stand in real quick, because she can't wrestle right now.
You don't think Tyler just got a big booty? Like, that could have been Tyler.
You're right.
You seem a little shapely. Get them angles right. Listen, I've seen a lot of drag queens. You can do a lot with angles.
Look, you're right about that, 100%. I have to. But I like the Fashion Files. I like whatever they're doing with Breezango. I wish that they would actually like take them seriously, though, because I feel like they could be champions and it'd be really entertaining. And I'm okay with Tyler in a dress and a wig. He can do that. But I also miss Prince Pretty. Like, it's a conundrum. Like, it's like, oh, I like what you're doing, but where's the selfie stick?
Where's the asshole with the selfie?
Yeah,
and the pursed lips.
I have a question. Am I the only person? Am I the only person who thinks that Breezango and Tyler Breeze look alike? Like, I look at them and go, are y'all brothers? Like, I feel like they look alike in the face.
Oh, really? Well, you know, all Caucasians.
And, you know, you might be right about that.
Let me stop. I'm going to look it up, see if they're from the same part of America. Next is the number one contenders elimination match. This is Carmella with her girlfriend, James Ellsworth.
Oh, God.
Tamina, listen, they started it. I'm just going with it. Tamina and Becky Lynch. The match never happened. The welcoming committee attacked Charlotte and Becky before the match could start. Lynch makes a comeback on Carmella, tossing her over the barricade and then running and nailing her with the forearm. Tamina announced table, but Charlotte went to the ring post and then suplex Natty. Charlotte went up top and nailed the moonsault to the outside. Carmella nailed Charlotte with a crossfire on Carmella. Tamina super kicked Becky. Tamina clotheslined Charlotte. Don't you love it when they do this thing all the time? It's amazing. Charlotte tossed Natty into the steps, and then she powerbombed Natty through the announce table. Chant, and then Shane comes down the ramp. Shane's got a good two ring, and he dances in the ring. And he's like, it's amazing. You know what we'll do? We'll do our first ever Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. And we're all happy because this is what we all want. Right, Don?
Right. I didn't like that he came out there bouncing and doing the Shane O'Mac, like, you know, two-step when, like, these women just, like, went haywire and went crazy on each other. That was, like, he should have been like, whoa, what the hell's going on out here?
Right. I feel like Daniel would have done that. Like, Daniel was like, hold on, though. But Shane just be out here for Shane.
Yeah, he's out here. He's getting his Shane O'Mac on. He's out here doing the two-step and the shuffle. And these ladies just killed each other.
Yo, I thought Natty was, like, really hurt. She was laying there like, okay, I didn't plan for this to go like that.
I thought Tamina was I always worry about Tamina because her knee injuries, Miss Charlotte did that moonsault on her, like, oh my gosh, please don't be hurt.
And she was ferocious. She was like, I'm not out here to be pushing and arguing. I'm out here to whoop somebody's ass. I was like, go ahead, Tamina, fight.
That's right. One time for the Black Girl Magic.
Okay.
So, Dee Dee, do you remember when we had Kellen on the show? What did we say? What did I say? I said I wanted this match to be just total chaos and nothing happened and Shane had to come down and make it a what? Money in the Bank women's match, right? They be listening. They listen.
They do. Did you see the graphic? Apparently it's going to be pink.
Yeah, that's cool.
No. Like,
why not? Like, you wanted to be the gold?
Yeah. Like, I feel like there should be no, like, differentiation between either one. It's like, this is the men's version, this is the women's version. Like, we can both have gold. And plus, whoever wins is probably going to customize their briefcase anyway.
Well, I guess so. I guess we'll have 3 weeks and, we'll have to, you know, come back and do our who you got on that. But that's going to be some very interesting interesting booking on who wins that.
I know, because they were writing it like Carmella was going to be the one to get it because she's the one who's been pinning Naomi. But Tamina's out here ferocious. Like, she wants her a title before she like retires and calls it quits. I don't know. We'll see.
She deserves it.
I think she does.
Mm-hmm.
And then her and the Usos could get out there and just be talking cash shit together.
That'll be a whole lot of titles for the Samoan Coalition.
Right?
Hashtag.
Hashtag.
All right, DeeDee, are you with us still?
I think we might have lost her.
Yeah. Well, I'll take it over from here. We had the Colognes versus Breezango. Tyler Breeze starts the match. He gets stripped down to become Fritz Pretty. Then he gets thrown out of the ring, and he comes back as the janitor. And the Colognes and Fandango fight over Moppy 2.0. And that leads to Tyler Breeze after the distraction. So here's a chance to take your drink.
Sip.
Tyler Breeze hits the unprettier, and he gets the win. I really want Tyler Breeze to just be Tyler Breeze. I don't want him to do this dressing up stuff. But, I mean, the crowd is really into it. So, I mean, if it's going to get him over with the people and the people are happy to see it, then go ahead and do your thing, young boy.
This kind of reminds me of when Damian Sandow was doing the gimmick and dressing up as different wrestlers. And that really got him over. And then, he became Mizdow and all that. So, like, I'm okay with it because I feel like we've seen it work before, and so I feel like it's going to work again. And it's entertaining. Plus, they are winning matches. So if he's going to get to dress up and be a janitor or a grandma or some chick in a dress, and he's going to get a win and, like, get the pin, I'm okay with it. I think it would be worse if he wasn't out here getting the wins.
I agree. I mean, it just shows you that if they take their time and build a creative, I mean, they've had three weeks really of this Fashion Files thing, and it's just elevated them to where nobody cared about it. Well, I mean, people really liked them, but they never had really any real reason to get behind them. But now that they've got these vignettes, people are like, oh man, we got something to look forward to every week between Tyler Breeze and Fandango, and it's, making them very popular. So
exactly.
DeeDee, are you back with us?
I am. Sorry for my technical difficulties. I was experiencing technical difficulties.
No problem, friend.
So you talked about how they beat them peoples?
The Colognes.
Yeah. It's tiring. Oh, well. So Randy Orton has a promo. Next,
Ziggles. Well, Jinder interrupted, and the Singh Brothers was his, his studio audience.
Yeah.
Yo, that promo was awful.
You see, I skipped right on over it. If could come out to live drums every week, though, that would be lit.
Yo, yes, I'm here for that. He needs his own drum line.
Yeah.
Or his own, African drummers. Whichever y'all want to go, whatever route you want to go with that, I'm down for it.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guests at this time, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, collectively known as The Revival. Dash, Dawson, you two haven't been in action on Monday Night Raw in 6 weeks.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why we haven't been here on Raw. I mean, take a look at that. But Charlie, look, hey, don't worry, okay? Because very soon Dash is going to get his wires cut from his mouth, and the top guys are going to be back here on Raw before you even have a chance to miss us, okay?
Well, last week Enzo Amore was left unconscious after a brutal attack.
Okay, yeah, so what? It has nothing to do with... You said yourself you haven't seen us on Raw in 6 weeks. I don't understand where this question's coming from. Whoa, let me guess. This is one of those gotcha questions you journalists like to use. Is that it? Is that what this is? Trying to get us. Is that what this is, huh?
Actually, I said you haven't been in action on Monday Night Raw in 6 weeks. Not that you haven't been at Raw in 6 weeks. There's some video that's raising some serious questions. Let's take a look. How are you approaching tonight's Rumble
match? And what Charlie was referring to is this interview with Sasha Banks last week. I want you to look in the left-hand corner of your screen there.
Finally win tonight, I'm going to get my first.
This is clearly Dawson and Wilder, the Revival, at Raw last week.
Yeah, of course we were here last week. I mean, Charlie, we do work here, you know. Your journalistic question just wasn't specific enough. I mean, Dash and I, we've been here almost every single week since his injury. I mean, we're just off doing top guy things, okay? Look, Enzo Amore, he's a tilapia of WWE. He's a bottom feeder here on Raw, okay? The Revival, we're not going to waste our time with Enzo Amore, and no one else should either. top guys out.
Well, Dash Wilder is suffering from a broken jaw, but nonetheless, I hope General Manager Kurt Angle had a chance to review that footage.
Well, I know one person who's seen that footage for sure. Big Cass.
What do you mean by that? No, elaborate.
I hope you're not insinuating the wrong thing, that I had something to do with an attack on somebody that I consider to be my little brother. Is that what you meant?
No, Cass, listen. I just know that Kurt is investigating. I know that you would be doing your own investigation better, deeper. That's what I meant. It was a misunderstanding.
I am.
Okay, so after the We're In promo that nobody liked.
Oh, goodness.
There was an announcement that Shinsuke would face Kevin in a non-title match next week, and that Rich, Swann, and Sasha... Oh, they just had a plug for 205 Live and Extreme Rules. Sasha looking like a snack, though, so that matters.
Yeah, next. Just wait till I get to 205 Live next.
Next is Ziggles versus AJ. Ziggles has new tights that say Hollywood Heel on the back. After the break, Styles comes with a backdrop, strikes, and a sliding forearm, and a face buster for a two count. Ziggles tried to cover with his feet on the ropes because, you know, cheat is life. But the referee caught him, and Styles swallowed with a fireman's carry netbreaker for a two count. Ziggles tries for a vertical suplex. Styles suplexed him into the turnbuckles instead. He tried to set up a Styles clash, but Ziggles countered with a jumping DDT, bringing Styles down from the top rope. Then Ziggles hit a headbutt. Styles came back with a backbreaker. There was a trade-off of counters, leading to AJ applying the calf crusher. Ziggles, as a good heel does, raked AJ's eyes to get out of it, followed with a zigzag for a near fall, missed a super kick, but crushed AJ on the top rope. Then super kick. Picked him for the pinfall win, and weren't you shocked? Yes, you were.
Sure was.
I was not. I wasn't shocked. Vince doesn't ever let anyone win at home. That's not how that works. So I was sitting here like, yeah, AJ, you're going to take this L in front of your home crowd. It's cool. Like, so everyone was like, oh, my God. Like, oh, my God, Dolph won. I was like, well, duh. They're in Georgia. I mean... I don't believe he's like exactly from Atlanta, but he's from the state. So he was, you know, Vince is like, well, home crowd, bro. Close enough. Take this L.
He's like an hour away. So yeah, close enough.
I don't know why I thought he was from North Carolina. He gives me that Hardy Boys kind of southern.
To me, I thought the match was a little flat because I don't think anybody in the crowd actually thought that Dolph won. And then when he won, everybody was just their mouth open like
what?
What did we just see? Yeah, exactly.
And that's what you get. You pay attention when you go to them shows.
I also think that, like, the crowd, like, it's not 100% his home crowd. So, the crowd just didn't, even when AJ came out talking about Atlanta and, like, everything, the crowd was still like, oh, okay, this is cool. But they still didn't, like, pop the way I expected them to. But I need Dolph to figure out what he's going to do with his life.
Dolph is going to be bae for his life. That's what he's going to do.
You know, Dolph used to be bae, and then...
What you mean used to be?
He used to be bae, and I got tired of him losing. Like, I'm so tired of him losing.
Well, yeah. It's hard to be like, yeah, you bae. What's your record? 1-3?
1-3. Right. Like, oh, you bae, and you a loser. I just... And Dolph be out here really trying to... sell the fact that he steals the show. And on a good night, Dolph does steal the show. But, like, he's never going to be HBK, which I feel like he needs to realize that. And I don't think he's ever going to get the title back. What I need him to go back to doing is the body roll. If I can just get him to do the body roll in the entrance, he'll be bae again. That's really what I miss, is the body roll.
The body roll was important.
It was, but Vince was like, nope, you body rolling, you got my title sitting on your ass. You are never going to be champion again.
Hashtag creep cast.
Never.
Anyway. So what you think about SmackDown Matters versus Rawcast?
It was the Pettis show per usual. What is you talking?
Yeah, for a go home show, Raw was kind of weak.
Which made no sense to me. Like, how is SmackDown like just, you know, coming off of pay-per-view and they have a better show than you?
Nia Jax had a lot to say. About that particular some booking when they announced the Money in the Bank women's match.
The shade of it all. The shade of it all.
Yeah, she said that, huh, it's funny how, you know, Money in the Bank women's ladder match. It's cool how SmackDown, you know, tends to use all their women every week.
Which, I mean, where's the lie?
There's not one.
Oh, and then I got into an argument with some Stranger Danger man on Twitter talking about, well, she don't get matches because she ain't good enough. And I was like, okay, I don't know what you want her to do with what they've been giving her. And they were like, you got to stand out beyond the crowd. It's yours. It's her fault. I said, okay. I said, I disagree.
She's like 6 feet and she weighs like 235 pounds. I think she stands out among the crowd.
He was like, she lazy, she this, she that. I said, listen, you can't do nothing if you're not on TV. And the fact of the matter is, they only focus on three women at a time on Raw, and it's a 3-hour show. But and then he tried to be like, oh, well, that was like 18 minutes on Raw, and it was only 10 minutes on SmackDown. I said, and neither one of those minutes on Raw was a match. So what are you talking about?
On top of the fact that, like, she should have gotten Charlotte. Like, I don't understand why we never booked Nia versus Charlotte. Nia and Charlotte, if I remember correctly, never wrestled each other at NXT. So that really would have been like a brand new, fresh match nobody's seen. I don't get why she never got Charlotte. Her and Charlotte are about the same height. They're in different weight classes, but they're the same height. It would have been so much more like believable because Charlotte's out there struggling fighting these little girls.
Yeah. So my whole thing with the little Stranger Danger man was, I think it's a booking issue, and he thought it was a talent issue. And I was like, but none of that has to do with the fact that Raw don't know how to focus on more than three women at a time, which is what me and I both said. So get out of my matches. And I was wondering, I was like, is this how like people do? They just argue with strangers?
Yes.
And I was like, and I was so tempted, and I was trying to be nice because I like talking wrestling. You don't have to agree with me. But I was just like, when do I hit the block button?
Yo, I've had people jump in my mentions over wrestling before, and I'm like, why are you so mad? I don't. I watch wrestling for fun. You are cussing me out for somebody who has no idea that we exist. I really need to get out my mention.
That, and that also, because it's just like, okay, we don't make none of these bills. And then this is how I knew he was like an older white guy. He was like, well, Jake the Snake told me. And I was like, oh, that's your person who says you don't need a gimmick, the dude with the big ass boa constrictor.
That should have been your time when you hit the block button.
I was like, okay. I was like, you got it. No, that's the universal sign of we're done. You got it.
Right.
It's interesting how people find their way into you guys' hashtags and then they get really confused.
They're like, what's this about? What are we doing here? It's like, welcome. Enjoy yourself.
Right.
Don't be an asshole, though, but come on in.
Exactly.
That's right. So we're going to move into 205 Live, get a highlight package of the Neville and the Aries feud. And then we get the highlight of 205 Live. Noam Dar and Alicia Fox, they come out, and they cut an in-ring promo on Rich Swann and Sasha Banks. They basically say that, you know, Rich Swann and Sasha Banks are fake. They got this, you know, made-up love. Basically, Noam Dar said they're friends with no benefits, which I thought was pretty funny. So of course that causes Rich Swann and Sasha Banks to come out. Of course, when they come out, you know, they, you know, try to back up their claim that they have a lot in common as far as their love of dancing and fashion. And then all of a sudden we get the highlight of the evening. Sasha Banks and Alicia Fox go to insulting each other's weave, where Alicia says, at least I didn't get my weave done in Atlanta. And Sasha tells Alicia, at least my track ain't showing boo-boo. Again, a couple of weeks ago, I posed a fashion cast question. Who has the better weave? Alicia Fox or Sasha Banks?
Mm-hmm.
And look what showed up on 205 Live. So, ladies, I'll let y'all have at it. I know y'all synced this. Before the match starts, what y'all think about the promo? I mean, can y'all believe they actually went there?
Yes, and I feel like only because they're pandering to, like, black people in Atlanta.
Yes, for sure.
Like, I feel like Vince was like, oh, this is going to go over great. And it's just like, no, Vince, because there are black women in Atlanta in the crowd right now who are like, I get my weave done by my homegirl, my house, and it looks better than yours. So, and you make way more money than me.
Isn't that always the thing? To digress, I be watching Real Housewives of Potomac, and there's a woman, she getting a divorce, but her husband was somebody's coach, aka she got a whole bunch of money. Her weave look worse than my little high school kids. And, you know, my little high school kids is low income. So I'm just like, how, with all the money you got, is your blend so suspect?
Well, I think that has a lot to do. Okay, so disclaimer, my little sister, my 20-year-old little sister, is a cosmetologist. Mm-hmm. So I deal with, I see the people who like come into the shop that she is an apprentice at. And it's always
she a real one. Come on, apprentice.
Yes. It's always questionable. Like there are some people, like some stylists just don't know how to say this hair don't work for you, or this, you need to buy a better grade of hair. Like it's okay to, cause my mom has always told me, like, it's, when it comes to your hair, like the way you look, it's fine to drop that money. Like you just, you know, talk to Jesus about it later. And like women who, I realize women who have money, a lot of them tend to just be cheap about it. So they buy really like not so great hair, and they don't understand the concept of like blending and knotting and dyeing your knots. It's a whole thing. Cause we used to watch like Real Housewives and Back in Love and Hip Hop and stuff. And my sister would have me dying talking about her blend ain't right. Oh no, they didn't dye her knots right. Oh, her part is suspect. Oh, she need a closure. And it's just like, who, y'all are making, you know, a couple thousand dollars a episode
to
jack the weaves when I can literally have my sister do my hair right now and my weave gonna look better than yours.
That's what happens when you have money but no friends.
Or no real friends.
No real friends.
But my whole thing with
not
Sasha,
Chris Brown kind of friends, not them real friends.
My issue with Sasha and Alicia Fox is they use synthetic hair and they sweat and it gets matted. That's the problem. But then, like, I also realized, like, I, when Charlotte was on NXT, her track was always coming out. And I was sitting like, why is your, and I realized they use clip-ons. They don't use tracks. So, of course, your hair is always coming out because it's just clipped in there. You snatch, you don't even have to snatch it. You can just run your hands through it. And if it's, you know, matted up enough, it'll come out. But then they have Naomi, who's like, I'm going to a local stylist today.
She will not be had.
Like, no,
can we,
because
get these individuals for the summer. Can we get these box braids?
Her weaves look phenomenal. They look
flawless.
Yes. Even when Cameron was on there, Cameron's weaves look good. I mean, Nikki Bella's weaves look good. I don't understand like how it is that Sasha and Alicia Fox, especially Alicia Fox, she's been on television for so long, hasn't figured out like those shake and go wigs that you get for $10 are just not it.
Yeah. I don't understand, because I feel like if I were a wrestler, I would be more like Naomi. Like, these braids is going to be in, or this hair is going to be so down. We're not doing that leave out shenanigan.
No.
I sweat. So if I sweat, that, it's just like, it doesn't even make sense that you would have leave out, really.
Exactly. Like,
so,
I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Cause Naomi's figured it out, and nobody else has, like, Tamina's even figured it out, but no one else has, like, stopped Sasha and Alicia Fox and been like, let's go take you to somebody who can do your hair.
Yeah. But even Carmella, I remember I saw her clip in on TV, and it wasn't like nobody had to pause it for me. I didn't have to rewind. I very clearly seen her clip, and I was like, oh shit. That's fucked up. So it's like they all have, really all but Naomi and Nikki, they all have questionable hair practices.
Most definitely. I mean,
because even Charlotte's had a track or two fall out. Like,
oh, every match, every like important match on NXT, Charlotte was losing a track. I remember that. Like, every takeover, Charlotte's track is in the middle of the ring, and you're just like, girl, why? And then whoever does Maurice's, they don't know how to blend it, because I can clearly tell where her actual hair starts and where the track keeps going, and I'm just like, oh goodness.
That's the other Caucasian thing. It's just like, I know you have short hair, like, why don't you layer it, adjust it? It's like, you've got 8 inches and then you've got 23-inch weave. I see the difference.
But they figured out Renee's. Like, Renee's doesn't, I don't know, I
Renee just looks weird. Does Renee look like herself yet again?
More and more the past couple of, like, this week, a little bit.
Even she got injections in her face or something, like she has some procedures.
Yeah, something is off with her. She doesn't look quite the same as she has been.
Her nose looks smaller to me. I don't know. She's been on television every week. So
they had They have injections you can do.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
To give yourself a little nose job, quote unquote, without having to go under the knife. But I saw it on BuzzFeed.
But then I feel like Dean would probably be like, "Nah, that's not okay."
Just like, don't nobody care what Dean of the Bangs thinks.
She does to a certain extent.
Listen, like, you don't get to tell me about my choices. I can't think of the word for cute shit when you are sweeping your hair from the back of your head to the front of your head to mask your male pattern baldness. We're not having this conversation.
I'm with you when you're right.
If I want to get injectables, I'm gonna get injectables. You don't want me to get injectables. You stop sweeping your hair forward. Embrace your hairline. Exactly. Because he ain't gonna.
He doesn't. Somebody can tell that to Baron Corbin, too. Let that hair
go. Oh, no, Baron
go.
Corbin just need to keep that hat on, because we can work with the hat. Baron and the hat is sassy.
But, yeah, and then Sasha needs to stop dyeing her hair.
Yeah.
She needs to stop doing that.
She just got to get a full wig. Yeah. Like, cover the whole thing up. Don't have no leave-out. Protect your edges.
Yeah, she needs to get that closure all sewn in. Like, because... At one point, me and my friend, we were pointing out, like, where you could see Sasha's hair was breaking because, you could see the part. And it was just like, oh, girl.
Yeah. Just got to invest that money.
You got to. I don't understand how her stylist boyfriend or husband hasn't been like, babe, fix this.
Well, maybe clothing style and hairstyle are not the same. Listen, I just don't understand why she hasn't buddied up to Lil. Well, they are on different shows. She still need to make friends with Naomi and be like, who does this?
They used to be friends, and her hair used to be jacked. I don't know.
You gotta ask your friends. Naomi's not the type who would hide.
No,
if you ask her who's your hairdresser. She won't tell you.
Yes, that's true. That's very true.
Yo, if Sasha came with the individual purple braids, like, I'd be like, yes, girl, sir.
I'm with it for sure.
If she came with like a pink ombre, hot pink to baby pink.
Oh, that would be pretty.
What?
Yes. Mm.
This was
this week's edition of hashtag FashionCast. So now we get Rich Swann versus Noam Dar. Alicia trips Rich Swann, which causes a brawl between Alicia and Sasha. Excuse me. During this brawl, Sasha snatches out a piece of Alicia's weave. Noam Dar hits his running kick, and he gets a win over Rich Swann. Now, the cat fight was phenomenal. Sasha Banks was in her sequin cat suit with the heels on, looking boss bae as everything. And she didn't quite snatch her ball, but yeah, she had a nice piece of that weave. So, Didi, I sent you this on YouTube so you could see this. What was your thought when Sasha had that piece of weave in her hair?
She swirled it around like a helicopter, like she was in a Petey Pablo video.
Yo, that's exactly what I thought.
She was all in a wrist. I was like, yes, Sasha. Come through.
I like how Corey Graves and Tom were like, oh, so that's what Naomi's been talking about all these weeks. It all makes sense now. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Y'all are so Caucasian.
I love them together on commentary, though. Like, they're perfection.
Who is it? Tom Phillips and the...
And Corey Graves. Yeah, like, you could tell they actually, like, they like each other, and they're friends, and they get along. I thought it's Corey. No, I think it's Corey.
No. He does 205 Live.
He does 205 Live.
Man, Corey works so hard because Corey has to go to Raw, wherever Raw is. Then he has to fly and go wherever SmackDown is and do SmackDown the next day where everybody else gets, like, a day off.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I mean, all he's doing is sitting and talking. He'll be all right.
And he always has a new suit, so I'm down for it.
Oh, he's dapper as hell.
Yo, somebody needs to talk, like, Corey needs to go, like, line for line and just be like, it's okay to have a tailor. Tailors are important.
Next on 205 Live, we get a Cedric Alexander promo, where he says that Noam Dar and Alicia Fox will get what's coming to them this Sunday, but he's not here to talk about past relationships. He's looking forward, and you know, he's ready to continue his climb up the ranks since he's back from his injury. So next up, we get Cedric Alexander versus Corey Hollis. Cedric hits the springboard clothesline, and then he hits the lumbar check, and he gets the win. So another jobber match for Cedric Alexander, and another victory. Next, we get a video package of the street fight between Brian Kendrick and Akira Tozawa from last week. Our next match is Drew Gulak versus Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali hits a flying crossbody off the top to Drew Gulak, but Gulak uses the momentum to roll through into a pin, and he gets the win. I kind of like this little, program with Drew Gulak. I mean, this can go on for, like, so many people. Like, he could go on from Mustafa Ali to, like, Cedric Alexander. There's just, you know, so many people, since he doesn't want anybody to be, like, a hot flyer in 205. He'd rather them not take the high risk and do the conventional wrestling to, win their matches. Kind of like, if you guys remember, ECW towards the end when Steve Corino was, like, all against the hardcore, and he wanted to be, like, he was the old school legend, Steve Corino. Yeah, so it's kind of what Drew Gulak is doing in 205 right now. Next up, we get an Austin Aries promo on his submissive match versus Neville on Sunday. Aries shows a video from Raw where Neville tapped out. That causes Neville to come out. Neville calls Aries lucky and says that he will inflict insufferable agony onto Aries this Sunday. TJP then attacks Aries from behind. TJP and Neville beat down Aries and attack his bad knee. That leads to Neville locking on the rings of Neville and TJP stopping on Aries' bad knee as the show ends. So that's going to be our lead into their submission match this Sunday at Extreme Rules. Alisa, any thoughts on 205 Live? Anything you want to add?
So I find Drew Gulak to be, like, annoying, but I get the point of his character, so I like it to a certain extent. Like, I just feel like he's Vince puppet to be like, see, this is why they don't do the high flying moves like they did on the CWC. And that bothers me. I guess if I could, like, separate the idea that Vince doesn't like the fact that they all like to do these tricks and things and he doesn't enjoy that from Drew Gulak, I'd probably like him more. But until I get to that point where I can, like, separate that, he gets on my nerves. I'm happy Cedric Alexander is back, though. I hope that it turns into something, because he got, prior to his injury, the whole Alicia Fox, Noam Dar thing, it was, I just didn't enjoy that. I didn't enjoy that at all. I didn't think it helped him at all. So hopefully he will keep getting some squashers and work his way into, like, the title picture or something. But that's about it.
All right.
So, you know, I like to do things while y'all are being professional. Mm-hmm. And I looked up this Drew Gulak character, all to find out that he had some matches with a guy named Nick Gage, who is currently in jail for 5 years after pleading guilty to second-degree bank robbery.
What?
Wow.
And I was just like, my God. What the hell?
Life is hard out here, apparently.
Guess he figured out where his indie wrestling career was.
Right. Like, nothing, right. No wonder they be trying to get to the WWE so bad. Shit. So yeah.
Goodness.
That's my piece of information for the day.
Instead of robbing banks, how about you guys add something to the collection plate by supporting our sponsors through CSPN.us. Log into www.cspn.us. Click on the tab at the top that says support the podcast. Click on that hyperlink, and then you can get into Amazon Busted Tees. But Amazon especially, because Father's Day is coming up. Get your gift for your dad for Father's Day. Get him something special this year. Don't do the usual, you know, ties and socks or shirt. You know, get something special for dad that he could use, something that he's been wanting, and do that through CSPN.us. If you like the WrestleCast, you're a fan, support our show by buying things through Amazon, through CSPN.us, and you'll be able to support our podcast by giving back a little bit of what you pay for whatever things you buy off Amazon to our podcast to help get the podcast free. So that's www.cspn.us. Click on the banner that says keep our podcast free, and then support our lovely sponsors, particularly Amazon, for Father's Day shopping. Next up, we'll get into NXT. Show begins with the injured Tommaso Ciampa. He's in the ring. He gives his promo explaining his access from TakeOver Chicago. He says that he had an injury before he entered the match, and there was a lot of speculation and buzz in the back about him being replaced before the match even started, and he took exception to that. He says that then he suffered an injury in the match, which would be the torn ACL that he really does have, and he says that, you know, he finished the match, and he looked at himself, and he looked at Ciampa, and he thought to himself that he's not replaceable. And he said that if he was injured enough that he was going to have to miss significant time, that he didn't want to do it alone. And that's the reason why he turned on Johnny Wrestling. This was good.
It was so good.
And it sucks that he's going to be out for like 8 months. But he did say he's going to be you know, he said that he is professional wrestling and that he is going to be the, you know, the baddest SOB when he comes back.
I'm biased. I love Ciampa. Like, I really do. I don't know when it, like, clicked for me that I liked him more than Johnny Wrestling, but when it did, I was like, oh, you were the best thing on this planet. And when he turned on Johnny Wrestling at NXT TakeOver, like, this is, like, I don't know if you've seen, there was a tweet that was going around of the parallels of what happened at the last TakeOver and what happened at this TakeOver. Mm-hmm. Or, no, at the CWC.
The CWC, yeah, they wrestled each other.
Yeah, and what happened at this TakeOver. And I liked how they kind of, I don't know if that was intentional, I'm going to assume it was, and how they played on, he just made different decisions compared to what happened at the CWC. And if you just need to have a really good laugh, you just need to get on YouTube, look up Glorious Bombs, and watch Johnny Wrestling, Ciampa, and Bobby Roode go out here and just drop Glorious Bombs. It's hilarious. I watched them on a loop. And I think that's why I started to like DIY so much anyway, was because their YouTube videos and vines and stuff are hilarious.
Yeah, so, I mean, this was a really good opening segment. Like we said, Tommaso Ciampa does really have a torn ACL, so that's at least 8 months of,
makes me so, you know, sad.
Rehab and surgery. So good luck to him, and can't wait to see what happens when he's ready to come back, because when he does come back, it's going to be a really big deal. Next, we get Bobby Roode. He says that the Glorious Celebration is all set for next week, but it's not happening at Full Sail.
Of course not.
He's too classy for that. He's too classy.
He's the epitome of bad and bougie.
Next, we get the Bruiserweight, the UK champion, Pete Dunne, versus Danny Burch. Danny Burch misses a knee strike in the corner. Dunne then gives Burch a German suplex into the turnbuckles. Dunne then follows up with the Bitter End, and he gets the win. Then Pete Dunne has a post-match promo on how the UK brand has officially started with the title reign of the Bruiserweight. I think everybody loves Pete Dunne. He could possibly, if Triple H has his way, be a big player on Raw and go bigger than just a UK show. But he's going to, you know, make his small steps here, and I think his future is bright, bright, bright.
Same. I love him.
Next, we get Kayla. She's backstage. She has a promo with the Velveteen Dream, Patrick Clark. Clark tells her that nothing about this set is right, that this ambiance is terrible, and that she needs to get not only her the set, but personally her shit together, and then maybe he'll give her an interview. I loved it. It was good.
It really is. And I like how he's really owning the character. And I just need, I don't know what's going on with that wig, but somebody needs to fix that. That wig is not attractive at all.
His wig?
Yes. Isn't that a wig, or do they have his hair sticking up like that?
That might be his real hair stepping up like that.
Really?
To me, he looks like right now in this early embryonic stage of the character, it looks like he's kind of in between Goldust and Orlando Jordan. Mm-hmm. And he's still trying to kind of dial in, like, what's the right mix.
When I saw the little vignette they did for him in TakeOver, I was like, is he Prince? Because that's what I get Prince from him. Mm-hmm. So he's just bigger and, you know, more more buff. But I like the character. I think it's cool. He's one of the only, like, you know, black wrestlers we have that has an actual character. So I'm down for that, too.
Right. Right. Yeah, DD, I got to get you a YouTube clip or something so you can see the new incarnation. Like, when he first tried it.
Something, because why would you just randomly be calling him the Velveteen Dream if there's not an aesthetic choice to go with it?
Girl, right.
But I haven't seen it, so I don't know what it looks like.
Well, when he first came out, he came out like 2 weeks back to back. And then they just snatched him off NXT for like all this time. And then they had some vignettes. So what it originally looked like, it looked like a cross between Prince as far as the purple and all the aesthetic of Prince and like Jimi Hendrix. It was kind of like the two of them mashed together because he's got the height of Jimi Hendrix and the hair, the kind of big hair like Jimi Hendrix had, but the Prince kind of clothing and kind of mannerisms. Mm-hmm. And that kind of looked like the direction it was going. But then when they test him off TV, and now that he's come back, it's kind of more like, if you, like I said, if you remember Orlando Jordan when he was in TNA and he was kind of doing that blended character that he was doing, it's kind of around there and a little bit of that Goldust too, where he's like, you know, everything's got to be just right for my scene and my, you know, for me to feel like I'm, you know, in my good spaces. So I like it.
I did too. Like, I didn't know how I was going to feel about it watching like the vignettes and everything, but then watching his match and then the promo yesterday, or the other day, I'm like, you know what? I'm good with this. This is cool.
Right. Next, we get the Authors of Pain vignette. Paul Ellering talking about how the, you know, Chapter of Pain is closed, and now they're opening the Chapter of Dominance because they are, you know, the NXT Tag Team Champions that basically wiped out the division. Next, we get Caesar Bononi versus Cian Almas. Cian Almas is dominating the match when he goes for a suplex. Bononi counters the suplex attempt into a roll-up, and he gets the upset victory over Cian Almas. So again, they're playing up the, you know, storyline that Cian Almas, you know, he's a little lackadaisical, he's a partier, and those things keep costing him matches.
I'm waiting on this to be over.
How do you feel about him? A lot of people have speculated that he's, like, you know, soon to be moving up to the main roster.
To do what? Like, I don't get it. Like, when he first came and he was a face, he just wasn't getting the pop that I think that he needed. But now that he's a heel, like, I like the fact that he's cocky and he's confident, and that's fine. But this whole, like, he wrestles, but he was out partying last night. Mm-hmm. But he's in the ring today. And I'm just like, okay, y'all been doing this for like a couple of months now, and it's not going anywhere. I'm waiting on it to become something else. But I guess if he gets called up, he'll fight Kalisto or something. I don't know.
The iconic duo is in the performance center with their camera when they see Ember Moon and they start making fun of her. She comes out of the trainer's room, and then the trainer comes out behind her and tells Ember that she can sign her release forms as she's been cleared to return to action. The iconic duo change their tune, and then they shut off their camera. I don't know about you, Halisa, but I am such a fan of the iconic duo, especially Peyton Royce. I think that Peyton Royce is the next big superstar in the women's division of WWE. And anything that they do is all right in my book. They haven't been on NXT in about 3 weeks, so it's like their first time doing anything. And then to see them kind of cower because now Ember Moon is cleared, her shoulder is good, it's just perfect. I love it.
I like Peyton. It's the other one I'm just not too keen on.
Billie,
this yet.
Billie Kay.
Yeah, I don't really too much care for her, but I like Peyton, and Peyton has grown because she's been there for, I feel like, hasn't she been there for a while? And so she's really kind of coming to her own in her character. But the other one, I'm just like, I'm not so much. I see this going into them trying to get Ember's finisher banned again, like going that route again. And hopefully Ember can take the title from Asuka and Asuka can get called up. I'm kind of excited to see like how they're going to handle that whole thing with Asuka eventually getting called up, because she doesn't speak a lot of English. Like, she doesn't speak nearly as much English as Shinsuke does. So they're going to have to put a mouthpiece on her.
Well, hopefully she goes to SmackDown where she can just be more physical than talkative. Raw, you have to kind of have that talking because they have so much time to fill. But on SmackDown, you can be more physical, and that translates a lot better because they have less time.
I know that I saw somewhere on Twitter that Asuka has been doing, or she was doing, SmackDown house shows. So I think that's where they're going to end up putting her, which is perfect. I just hope that they don't ruin her, because Vince has figured out how to ruin just about every person who got called up from NXT. Like, it's ridiculous to see how good, like, American Alpha ain't been on SmackDown in weeks. Like, and it's just like, how is it that y'all figure out ways to ruin the NXT talent when, like, these are the people who you sell your network on? Like, these are the wrestlers that you sell your network on, and then somehow you can't get your fans to stick with them when they get called up.
I think it's more of the fans, because I think they said like only like 7% of the people who watch Raw watch NXT as well. So they don't have any of that. Like me and you, we have that previous investment of a year or a year and a half or 2 years into these people. But when they come on Raw, they come on there cold, and then they don't do it. Like, you know, back in the day, they used to build you up for 3, 4, 5 weeks, and then you would come out. Now they just kind of put you out there, and if you can't do anything with their writing, you basically will sink.
And that's really true. I mean, they're trying, like, with the whole Emma thing, and then with eventually
who was Lana.
Lana, which I don't like that whole promo. I don't like that promo at all. But I guess
I don't like anything with Lana having to do with wrestling. I do not like it at all. But oh well. So next we get an announcement that in 2 weeks we will get a rematch from the NXT TakeOver Chicago match, where it will be Nikki Cross, Ruby Riott, and Asuka, but this time it will be a triple threat elimination match. We get video highlights of Hideo Itami tearing up the locker room and pushing Cassius Ohno after his loss to Bobby Roode at TakeOver Chicago. Then they show a video from earlier in the day when Itami and Ohno seemingly patched things up. So it looks like Itami may be going heel, and that may actually be good for his NXT run.
That poor baby. Everyone he came in with, he debuted before Finn, and he's still in NXT trying to get it together. Like, damn, I feel bad for him because he got hurt and he got hurt again. And it's just like, damn.
Bad luck.
Honestly. And
we're not talking about Fale. Shout out to JPK Modo. Hashtag Cast a Strong Style. Next up, we got Roderick Strong and Cassius Ohno in our main event versus Eric Young and Alexander Wolf. Killian Dane tries to get involved in the match when No Way Jose makes his return and runs Dane into the ring post. Strong then hits the end of Part 8 backbreaker on Eric Young, and Roderick Strong and Cassius Ohno get the victory. So they're continuing to build up Roderick Strong, and Cassius Ohno, you know, was just along for the ride as he got beat down for most of the match, and then Roderick Strong got to make the heroic comeback and get the win. What do you feel about Roderick Strong? Do you feel that these vignettes have helped him in your eyes, or do you feel more compelled to root for him since they've kind of delved into his background and his story?
Yeah, like, I think it was the promo leading into NXT, or leading into TakeOver, and I was like, you know what? I can get behind this guy. I also don't really I don't like Eric Young, even though he is the heel. I don't like him. I don't know what it is about that whole situation. I just feel like they're crazy for no reason. Like, I feel like sanity is just crazy just to be crazy. Because, like, Nikki Cross, I look at her and go, what are you doing? You're worse than Dean. I don't understand. but, yeah, I do like Roderick Strong. And, like, now I'm getting back into the habit of watching NXT regularly because I had stopped watching at one point because I was doing stuff on Wednesdays. But now I'm trying to get back in the habit of watching it. And so I enjoy him. I hope that I'm pretty sure he's going to be champion at some point. I just hope that they handle that right, because I don't want him to get, like, shot to the moon just because they're like, oh, he's the face, because, you know, that might not work out very well.
All right. So next up is the return of Lucha Underground, as we haven't had hashtag LuchaCast pop off in a while, as they were doing their mid-season hiatus that they usually do. But they're back, and they came back with a vengeance, as they had Johnny Mundo, the Lucha Underground champion, versus The Mac in an all-night-long Iron Man match for the Lucha Underground title. Mundo and the Mac both have 3 falls each, thanks to some shenanigans from TJ Black. Mundo, you know, got a pinfall. He got an early pinfall with his what is that thing called? He does the end of the world little thing that he does, and then he held the ropes and got a cheap pinfall. Got up 2-0 before the Mac could get a win with the power bomb. Then the Mac got a win with the stunner. And they were tied it to a piece. Then TJ Black comes out, helps Mundo get a 3rd fall. Mundo is stalling for time. You know, he's got the band playing music. And Dee Dee, your favorite, what is a sexy star, was a part of the band. And she dove off the over the entranceway onto PJ Black and Johnny Mundo to help the Mac kind of even up the odds a little bit. So eventually Mundo and the Mac, they both have 3 falls each. Time is running out. The Mac ascends a ladder, and he hits a frog splash off of this ladder. He pins Johnny Mundo, but as the ref hits 2, the time runs out, And Melissa gets on the microphone, Creepcast, Melissa Santos, she's back. And she announces that the match will be a draw as both men have 3 wins apiece and there will be no winner. That brings Dario out. Dario says that there will be no draws in his temple. So next week will be sudden death. The first pinfall or submission wins, and Dario says he doesn't care if it takes all night long again. So that sets up next week. A Lucha Underground, Johnny Mundo versus the Mac. Sudden death from their all night long match this past weekend. This was good, man. I mean, you know, it was good to see Lucha Underground. Like I said on Twitter, I hadn't seen it in so long. I forgot how good the matches are on this show. And these two guys, they really laid it out there, even with the shenanigans of PJ Black and Son of Havoc and Sexy Star came out and helped the Mac to kind of help him get, you know, a couple of one of his pinfalls or whatever. It was just a really good show. It was good to see Lucha Underground back on TV again. So you guys check that out. You can get a little taste of it if you use the What We Were Watching hashtag, as we have it up on our Tumblr site. And you guys can, you know, see about 11 minutes of this match. It was the whole episode, so definitely check it out. Now we're going to move into Who You Got. As I put out a poll on Twitter this week, as I needed a little help with coming up with the hashtag for our live tweet this Sunday. And so our choices were Cast Stream Rules, Extreme Cast Rules, Extreme Cast, and Rules of Cast. And we had a tie between Extreme Cast Rules and Extreme Cast. So as the booker of all the hashtags, I made the executive decision that we will go with Extreme Cast because it's shorter and doesn't use as many characters. So join us this Sunday for hashtag Extreme Cast. So that's Xtreme Cast, as that will be our official hashtag for our live tweet of Extreme Rules this Sunday starting at 8 p.m. For those of you that join at 7 p.m., of course, as always, the hashtag is hashtag say no to pre-shows. So we're going to have, we'll start first with, just in case it happens, it hasn't been announced yet as far as the latest announcements that I have seen, but we'll go with R-Truth versus Goldust. So, Halisa, who you got?
I'm going with Goldust on that one. All right. I really want Goldust to win.
Dee Dee?
I also will have Goldust.
All right. Shout out to At What Sleep, though. I'm going to, again, go with Goldust as well. So, we'll have a clean sweep on that one. Next up, intergender match. Rich Swann and Sasha Banks versus Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. Dee Dee Jonay, who you got?
Well, hold on, because I'm writing the notes down, you know. Banks versus Dar and Alicia. I have Sasha.
You have who?
Sasha.
Sasha. All right.
And what, the homie? Yeah.
The homie. Please say the homie.
Yeah. I got Sasha and the homie.
Halisa, who you got?
It pays me to do this, but I'm going with Alicia Fox and Noam Dar.
All right.
You'll probably be right, if it makes you feel better.
Right.
I'm going for the Boss Bay because I want to see the Boss Bay do her dance, do your dance, do your dance. So I'll go with the homie and the Boss Bay. Next up, Neville versus Austin Aries. Cruiserweight title submission match. Dee Dee Jonay, who you got?
This is AA. It's a submission match.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, I have Austin.
All right. Halisa, who you got?
I got Austin as well. I feel like they got to do it. Like, they have to, even though I don't want them to.
I'm going to go one more time for Neville. I think he's
going to
hold on.
Come on, Evil Elf. Yes.
Yeah. Next up, the Hardy Boys versus Sheamus and Cesaro for the Raw Tag Team titles in a steel cage. Alisa, who you got?
So on my podcast, I said the Hardys, I think, but I said it was subject to change. So I'm going to go with Sheamus and Cesaro, but I feel like I'm wrong. Like, I really do feel like I'm wrong, but I'm going to go with Sheamus and Cesaro.
All right. Dee Dee Jonay, I think we already know who you got.
I mean, I'm still in the Cesaro section. I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. And I actually, I don't think they're going to win, but for all, like, realistically, they should win, and I want them to win, so I'm going to go ahead and go with them.
Okay. I'm going to also go with Cesaro and Sheamus. I mean, they haven't won not one match between them and the Hardy Boys in any iteration. So, I mean, at some point, they got to get something. So, I think this will be the point where they finally get their win. Next up, hashtag 5 Feet of Fury, hashtag Bliss Gates Champ, hashtag Goddess Gates Champ, Alexa Bliss versus Bayley. Raw Women's Title Match, Kendo Stick on a Pole. Here's your name. Who you got?
I have Bayley. I don't know if I really believe in her like that, but it'd be fun. I'd like to see her like go to town with the Kendo Stick. It would be lit. So I got Bayley.
Okay. Alisa, who you got?
I'm taking Alexa Bliss.
All right.
Done.
I'm taking Alexa Bliss, of course.
Because you didn't have faith last time, so I just wanted to
exactly, exactly. I'm not going to make that mistake again. Next up, we have Dean Ambrose versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title. The title changes hands on a disqualification. Alisa, who you got?
I'm picking The Miz, and I'm going to say that the Drifter's going to interfere. That's where I'm taking it.
No, she's calling distractions. Didi, who you got? Well, we know who you got.
Clearly. I also have The Miz.
Yes. And we're going to make it a clean sweep, as I'm going to go for The Miz as well. We get to our main event. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, and Samoa Joe in a 5-way Extreme Rules match to determine the number one contender for the Universal title.
Wait a minute. Reigns? Rollins?
Finn?
Wyatt? Ah, there we go.
Oh, you missed
Samoa
Bray.
Joe.
How did I miss the Bay? Yeah, I got Bray and Joe. I was missing Finn. It's too many.
Didi's your name. Who you got?
It's too many.
You got to pick.
Oh, it's too... Oh, fuck. Finn. I don't know.
All right.
I kind of want to say Joe, though, but I'll go with Finn.
Okay.
Alisa? I'm picking Joe.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Seth freaking Rollins.
Oh, we're all
okay. Right, then.
This I'll look. The place, baby. Yeah.
Right?
So, again, I will put this up on Twitter tomorrow, and it'll be up all through the weekend on the official Twitter app where you can vote on who you got. So you guys can play along with us as well. And that'd be interesting to see who was right and who wins this time. As I think what Sam won the last time for Backlash.
Sam won the last time, yes.
And you won the time before that.
Sure did. Yes, I did.
So we will
let the record show Sam only won by 1 point though.
Yes. We had a lot of similar answers last time for Backlash.
It won't be like that this time. There's enough difference that it shouldn't be like down to the wire, game 7 kind of shit. Like,
right.
It should be pretty clear who's got the win on this one.
So, Alisa, before I let you go, is there just anything in general, you know, you want to just discuss in wrestling before we go, or just give people a kind of sneak preview on what you have coming up on your podcast?
Not really.
Are you? Do you watch ROH?
I don't. But I am thinking about it.
Okay, if you decide to, there is a gentleman. His name is Dalton Castle. His contract is coming to an end in ROH. And he should be front and center on WWE's roster. Now, I don't know if they can recreate what he has in ROH because he has he's like a very flamboyant character. And he has the quote-unquote the boys that are kind of like his valets, but it's so great. So look that up on YouTube and take in everything that is Dalton Castle. So good. So good. Didi, anything that you want to bring up before we go? No?
No, friend, I'm good.
All right. So I just want, again, for everybody to join us this Sunday for the hashtag ExtremeCast this Sunday, as we will be live tweeting Extreme Rules. Thank you again, everybody who joins us for SmackDown Matters and also the Rawcast. So this time, we'll open it up to shout-outs. So our guest, Alisa, Shout out.
Thank you to you guys today. It's much appreciated. Most definitely new episode or my first episode from us on. As well as check out my podcast with my cousin and my best friend, not all Miller. And that's what some people think. Don't, I'm going to listen unless you get belligerent and you get the block button.
All right. Didi Jone, shout out.
Shout out to the newest member of the Glow team. Did herself quite well. And I'm proud to invite her to whenever we have our next Ladies Night WrestleCast. Shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to this epic nap that I took. Hopefully I can go to sleep at a reasonable time. Shout out to Happy Hour, because Happy Hour soon come. Shout out to Don and Greg working double shifts. Shout out to the chairman. Shout out to my little play niece, Ivy. She's being a thug up in the NICU, growing, being epic. And yeah, that's it.
All right. I'd like to give a shout out to my co-host, the SmackDown Madness correspondent, Didi Jone, my guest, Halisa. You can follow her at Madame Lizette. Also, you guys subscribe, download her podcast, A Phenomenal Podcast. I'd like to give a shout out to Sam, give a shout out to Greg, give a shout out to Classic, give a shout out to everybody on the CSPN. I'd like to give a shout out to Moto and Cast of Strong Style. As you guys check us out, we will be recording the Best of the Super Juniors review for the finals coming up this Sunday. It's going to be Will Ospreay versus Kushida, so it should be pretty epic. Give a shout out to everybody who will join us for the hashtag Extremecast and the Rawcast and SmackDown Matters coming up this week. And give a shout out to the Glow, because they're always there for us regardless, no matter what we do. And is there anybody else I'm forgetting? Give a shout out to Siege, because, you know, she's my light-skinned freckle face boo. And I think that's about it. So on that note, I'm Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 136 of the WrestleCast. You guys stay tuned for the parting promo.
Hey, who's check them out? They out here looking salty a little bit. Out here looking mad a little bit. Why? Because we still your WWE SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions.
Hey, I get it. They thought American Alpha was going to beat us.
Nope.
Or maybe they thought Breezango was going to beat us.
Nope.
Just like they thought the Atlanta Falcons was going to beat the Patriots.
Nope.
Too easy. Hey. Check this out. Don't boo us. We didn't play. Hey, don't nobody go hard like the Usos in the WWE. Not one tag team in here.
Don't you dare be sour. Clap for your longest reigning tag champs and feel the power.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Oh, man. Look who's back. The New Day!
Now, since we are now here on SmackDown Live, we couldn't think of a better place to debut than my hometown of Atlanta! Georgia!
So you know, we had to bring these world-class hips to lay in front of all.
Wait, hold up.
Wait a minute.
We got the tag division on lock.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
We know what goes on in a penitentiary. We know. And as far as those SmackDown Live tag team titles, we like some, and we want some. So we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Either way,
Y'all better wake up out this fairy tale, cause this is, it's about to get real.
Open up your eyes, new day. We run this show.
You think you run the show? Honey, that's so cute. With your little hats and hoodies. See, we know the man who actually runs the show. One Shane McMahon. And Shane actually told us that you two have some special opponents coming up at Money in the Bank. But I just can't remember who.
Money in the Bank, Jim, Jay, you two better get ready for the new day to become the new SmackDown Live
WWE World Tag Team Champions!
Wanted a decision by Shane McMahon, the commissioner. Hey, I'll just put it out there. I cannot wait for Money in the Bank.